Mishnah says on Daf Nunhei Amud Beis, Nafla Lagina V'Nenes Mishalemes Mashenenes. What happens if the behemoth falls into a gina, into a garden, and is nene from the tvua in the garden? Mishalemes Mashenenes. So then the Bala behemoth has to pay Mashenenes. Why does he only pay Mashenenes and not Mashenzika? So Rashi says, Nafla Lagina Bonus, Migak Baila Asamach Laginas Chavera. She fell bonus. The behemoth fell bonus into the gina. The first case of Rashi is that the rishus of the bala behemoth is on top of the gina, rishus ayochid, and the behemoth fell from gag baile into the gina's chaver. Or the behemoth was going rishus sarabim. The baile mistama were with the behemoth rishus sarabim. And she fell into the Ginas Chaver. So there was a Nefila Ba'onis. Somehow the Nefila Ba'onis changes everything. Right? There's no need to pay for Masha Yizika. We know in general that if the Behem is Mazik Ba'onis, then the Ba'alim don't have to pay. But you still have to pay Masha Nenis. It says Rashi Lefi Hana'osa V'lo Lefi Hezeka. She only has to pay, the Ba'alim only have to pay for what the Behemah did, only for the Hana'ah, not for the Hezek. What does that mean? So if the Behemah did some kind of a Hezek to the Tvua, but the tefuah is very expensive, so it didn't need to do the hezek to that expensive tefuah. So then the behema, the bala behema, only has to pay masha nenes, not masha hizika. Yorda kedarka, says the mishnah, v'hizika mishalem is masha hizika. But if yorda kedarka, there was no onus, but rather it happened kedarka, so then the bala behema has to pay masha hizika. So this is the contrast that the mishnah sets up. There are some situations where the behema is nene from the tvu of someone else, from the nizik, and nevertheless the bala behema doesn't have to pay mashi zika, he only pays mashi nenes. Other situations, if the behema enters into the gina shalo ba'ones, so then the bala have to even pay mashi zika. So what's the case? What exactly is happening? What hana did the animal get? What hezek is the animal doing? So the Gemara fills us in. Gemara daf nun zayin amud beis says, Nafla lagina v'nenes mishalemes mashi nenes. Amar Rav, b'nechbita. Rav says, what's the case? B'nechbita, that the animal got hana from the field, from the tvua, because it landed and the impact damaged the tvua, but it protected the animal. Aval ochla, filo mashenenis, eina mishalemis. But zogt Rav, nofla legina ba'ones, if ochla mina tvua, then she doesn't even have to pay, and the bailam don't have to pay even mashenenis. Rav sets up a contrast over here within the Mishnah. Mishnah says Nafla Lagina Mishalemes Mashenenes. So Rav says that's only if Nechbeta. But if Ochla, then there's no Chiyuv Bechlal. There's even less. Right? If you're the Kedaka, then Mishalemes Mashenizika. If Nafla Lagina Baones Mishalemes Mashenenes, comes Rav and says that's only Nechbeta. But if Ochla, then there's no Chiyuv Bechlal. So in fact, the Gemara Lema Rav Letamei Da'amar Rav Hayolosh Lotocha. What does this mean? Why does Rav say that Ochla Filo Mashenenes Eina Mishalemes? What is this Rav Lashitaso that Rav says that the Bailam can say Hayolosh Lotocha? Where did Rav say that? What kind of a statement is that? So this is referring to the Gemara Daf Memches Amid Beis. That's what Rashi alludes to. Mem Zayin Amid Beis. Mishnah Daf Mem Zayin Amid Aleph says Hichnes Perosu V'chotze Balabai Shalom Bashus V'achlosen Behemto Shalom Balabai Is Potter V'huska Behem Balab Peres Chayiv. If Reuven brings Peres into the chotze of the Balabai, it's chotze of Shimon Shalom Bashus. Shimon didn't allow Reuven to bring his Peres in. So if the behemah of Shimon eats the Peres, so then clearly Shimon's not going to be Chayiv. It's Reuven's Pshia, so Shimon's not going to be Chayiv for that. But if Shimon's behema were huzka behem, not that the behema ate the peiros and that's it, but Shimon's behema was damaged by the peiros, and then the bala peiros is chayiv. So zok the Gemara mem zayin and beis ichnis v'yos v'chatz bala bayis. Amar Rav lo shonim ala shehuch lo kabahen, aval ochla poter. Rav says that if huzka behem Bala behema, if huska behen ha behema, that means if huchlaka behen, if the behema slipped on the peris. But if ochla potter, if ochla, then the bala peris is potter from pay. My taima havala shlo tocha. The bala peris can say that the behema shouldn't have eaten. if the behema eats the peros and he eats too much, and he gets damaged, he dies, let's say, from the eating of the peros. So comes Rav and says a chiddush that the bala peros can say, havala shelo tocha, the behema shouldn't have eaten, it's not my fault. If the behema eats the peros and now the bala peros is out the money of the peros, so then the bala behema doesn't have to pay for that. That's the bala peros' problem. But if the behema is huska bahen, if the behema gets damaged, so then Rav says that it depends. If huchlaka bahen, if she slipped on the peros, then the bala peros is going to be chaya for that because his peros caused the hezek. But if ochla, if the behema ate the peros and as a result of that the behema got damaged or died, so then the bala peros is going to be potter. But the behema can eat. Well, if the bala behema is not going to be chaya for the eating of the peros, so why should the bala peros not be chaya for the hezek that the peros caused the behema? He didn't have a right to bring the peros in. So Rav has this chiddush that havalo shelo tocha, that the bala peros can say that it's not my fault. Havalo shelo tocha. So the Gemara says it sounds like Rav over here is saying a similar idea. That if nechbeta, if nafla lagina v'nechbeta, so then mishalemes mashenenes. But if ochla, filo mashenenes, ena mishalemes. If ochla, then she doesn't even have to pay for the hana, nothing. There's no chiyah for the bala behemah to pay. Why not? Sounds like Rav is saying, hava lo shalot tochal, that the bala behemah can say that the behemah shouldn't have eaten. That there's this idea that the behemah shouldn't have eaten. So fact the Gemara, that's ridiculous. Amri, hachi hashta, emadam Rav hasam hayi lo shalot tochal, lecha de itzikahi. Bishloma, on daf mem zayin mevei, so there, the behemah gets damaged, so then the bala peres can say, hava lo shalot tochal, the behemah shouldn't have eaten, it's not my problem. The matzi amalimar the peri lo mishalamna hayolosh lo tocha. The bala peres can say it's not my fault. The behema got into trouble. Lo zuke hi achrine the petira leshlume mi amar. But did Rav say lo zuke achrine that the behema shouldn't have eaten and therefore the bala behema shouldn't have to pay for the peres that the behema ate? How does that make any sense? Bishlama to say that the bala peres can say the hezek that occurred to the behemah is not my fault, but does it make any sense that the bala behemah that was mazik that ate the peres should say no, the behemah shouldn't have eaten? Can he say that? It doesn't really make much sense. So Zokta Gemara, no, that must not be what Rav said. Ella lo mi baya ka'amar. Lo mi baya ochla de mishlamas mashenenes, savol nechbeta ima mavri achari minichse chaverhu, mashenenes navi lo mishalem. No, Rav said that nafla legina mishlamas mashenenes is not only in a case of ochla, but even by nechbeta. Ochla, avada there's a chiv to pay. There's not a chiv to pay mashenizika, but there's a chiv to pay mashenenes. But nechbeta, I think, there's no chiv to pay at all. Why is it no chiyuv to pay at all? Because he's a mavriach hari minichse chaver. Mavriach hari minichse chaver, that's a concept that we're going to have to address, we're going to have to understand what that means. That somehow he's not mahane, right? Nechbeta is not a hana that would be mechayev etashlumin, so maybe even mashenenes ain't a mishalemis. Kamashmala in the Mishnah, no, nafla lagina mishalemis mashenenes, not only by echla, but even by nechbeta. So, in fact, the Gemara ve'ema hachanami, maybe Taka, you shouldn't have to pay anything by nechbeta. The Gemara, no. Maviachari minichse chavero midaito hu hai lav midaito. So, first of all, maviachari minichse chavero, whatever that particular case is, right, the simple translation of the words is, if someone chases away the lion from the property, from the sheep of a bailim, so there's no chiv to pay. No chiv to pay. He chased away. He did him a favor. But there's no chiv to pay the maviachari. But here there is a chiyuv to pay mashenenes. If nechbeta, there's a chiyuv to pay mashenenes. Why? Maviachari minichse chaveros midaito. The person who chased away the lion, he did it midaito. He chose to chase away the lion. Over here, the balagina didn't choose to protect the behema with the tvor. So there's a chiyuv to pay mashenenes. Inami, maviachari minichse chavero les lepseida. Hi, is lepseida. Maviachari minichse chavero les lepseida. He's chasing away the lion. Okay, he's off for the day. Right, he's not taking a loss for it. Right, he chases away the lion. He's not taking a loss here. The bala peres is taking a loss. There's a hezek to the peres. So to say that nechbeta is ena mishal ena safilu mashen ena, that you can't say. It's not mavriach even if sechaveru. First of all, it's not midaito. Secondly, isle pseida. So there has to be a chiyuv to pay for something. Comes the Mishnah and says there isn't a chiyuv to pay mashi hizika, but there's a chiyuv to pay mashen enes. Okay, that's the sugya. That Rav is saying some kind of a chiddush about nechbeta, about ochla. The question is, what did he say? Right? Did he say that the chiyuv of to be mishalei mashen enes is only by nechbeta? Or fakert? Did he say that even by nechbeta there's a chiyuv to pay mashen enes? I would have thought that there's no chiyuv to pay bichla. Okay, let's take a step back. Let's go back to the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara first quotes Rav to try to explain what kind of a nezek is occurring over here to the Gina. So first Rav says binechbita. Binechbita. Aval ochla afilu mashenenis eina mishalemis. So first, in the beginning of the Gemara, Rav seems to be saying that there's the chiv to pay mashenenis by nechbita, not by ochla. And then the Gemara says mamish faker, the exact opposite. The Gemara says, no, avada by ochla there's a chiyuv to pay mashenenes. It's just nechbeta, I think, that there's no chiyuv to pay bechlal. How can the Gemara change from one extreme to the other? What the Gemara didn't know what Rav said. The Gemara initially thinks that Rav holds that the chiyuv to be mishalim mashenenes is only by nechbeta, not by ochla, and then the Gemara says, no, I have a havamina faker, mamish the exact opposite. By ochla there's a chiyuv to pay mashenenes, but by nechbeta there's no chiyuv bechlal. What does that mean? So Rashi actually learns that line of the Gemara a little bit differently. Rashi says, "Upachinan aval ochla afilu mashenenes lo mishalemes b'tumia." Rashi learns that it's not that Rav said benechbeta aval ochla afilu mashenenes eina mishalemes. That's not part of the statement of Rav. Rav said benechbeta. The question is, what did Rav mean? So the Gemara initially thought, "Oh, we know that Rav says on daf mem zayin amabeis that havalosh lo tochal." There's this idea that havalosh lo tochal, that the bala peres can say that the behemoth shouldn't have eaten. So maybe Rav is saying over here as well that havalosh lo tochal, that the bala behemoth can say that maybe I shouldn't have to pay for the achila of the behemoth because the behemoth shouldn't have eaten. The Gemara is thinking, the Gemara has this kasha. This is not part of the statement of Rav. Rav just said benechbeta. So at first the Gemara thinks, oh, Rav means to say that benechbeta there's a chiyuv to pay mashenenes, but be'ochla there's no chiyuv to pay mashenenes. There's no chiyuv bechlal to pay. Just like Rav earlier. So then the Gemara comes around and says, no, you misunderstood what Rav said. Rav didn't mean to say benechbeta there's a chiyuv to pay mashenenes, but be'ochla there's no chiyuv. No, fakert. Rav Avada thought that be'ochla there's a chiyuv to pay mashenenes. But the Havamina would have been that benechbeta there's no chiyuv bechlal. Comes Rav and says, no, afilu benechbeta, even by nechbeta, there's also a chiv to pay mashenenes. Not that the Gemara misunderstood Rav's statement. Rav just said benechbeta. So the Gemara asks, aval ochla afilu mashenenes, eina mishalemes. Does Rav mean to say that if ochla, there's no chiv to pay bechlal, there's no chiv even to pay mashenenes? Like Rav said before, so comes the Gemara and says, no, that's not what Rav meant. Okay, so it's not that the Gemara did not understand Rav's statement. The statement of Rav is a shorter kind of statement. He just said benechbet. The Shidum Kabat says echoes Rashi's sentiment, but it says it a little bit differently. Shita quotes from the Ra'ok. Perish lav lishne de Ravu, may de ka'amar aval ochla ella lishne de Talmud de mefarish le Rav lefum may de kasaka daitach. V'nokid lo b'derav ke'ilu Rav amr ba'ahu lishna. The Ra'os says that it's not that Rav said this, but the Gemara, but this is not a bitamiya. It's not a kasha like Rashi is presenting it. It's not a kasha. And the Shita continues, Rashi pirish de pircha de talmudahu, v'lo perusha de talmudah. Rashi learns that it's the kasha of the Gemara. The Ra'os says it's not a kasha. It's the Gemara explaining Rav. The Gemara thinks that Rav probably said this, but Rav didn't really say it. He just said benechbeta. But the Gemara is presenting it as though it's a perish of Rav. It's not a kasha against Rav. The Gemara thought it was a perish of Rav. But it's not, because it doesn't make any sense. The Gemara thought it was a perish of Rav based on what Rav had said earlier in the Gemara, Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis. So comes the Gemara there and says, no, that's not true. Rav says that Ochla certainly have to pay Mashenenes. The chiddush is that even by nefrata you also have to pay mashin enes. But the tzad hashava between the Shita and Rashi is that they're both saying it's not that the Gemara misunderstood Rav. The Gemara was thinking that this was Rav said, that this is what Rav said. Or maybe the Gemara was asking, does Rav say it? But in the end, the Gemara comes around to say, no, Rav never said that to begin with. You can't say that the Gemara just is quoting Rav and it's changing what Rav said. If that's what Rav said, then we can't change his shita. The Gemara is saying, no, maybe this is what Rav says. Or maybe we should add this to Rav. Right? We should add that. That's what Rav implies. Comes the Gemara and says, no, that's not what Rav is saying. Okay. What's the problem over here? The problem is, what's the Havamin of the Gemara? The Havamin, according to Rav, this kash of the Gemara, is that Rav holds that if Nechbata Mishalemes Mashenenes, but if Ochla, Eina Mishalemes Kla, Havala Shalot Tocha. Right? That we should co-opt the Svar of Rav and Dapim Zainam Abbas for this Gemara, that the Baal HaBahem shouldn't be Chayav at all. So Lechor it's a Pella, the kash of the Gemara is so obvious that we don't understand what's the Havamin of the Sugya. What's this kash? How can you possibly say that Rav meant to claim that Dafka by Nechbata is the Rechiv to pay Mashenenes, but if Ochla, there's no Chiv to pay Bechla? Come on. It's obvious. If the peiros caused a hezek to the behemah, so then the bala peiros can say havala shalot tocha. But if the behemah ate the peiros, what the bala behemah is going to say? No, I'm not going to pay for the peiros because the behemah shouldn't have eaten. Well, what kind of a strange svar is that? What kind of a strange notion is that? Is there really a havamina that the bala behemah shouldn't even have to pay for mashenenes? Even if you'll tell me there's some kind of a svar that he shouldn't have to pay for the hezek, masha hizika, but even masha nenes he shouldn't have to pay? How can that be? If the behemah is nena, why shouldn't he have to pay for masha nenes? What's more, frekta shita mekubat says, if there's the svar of havala shlotochal, even if a behemah eats peiros, right? The bala behemah can say havala shlotochal that I shouldn't have to pay for the achila of my own behemah, so then you just did away with the mazik of shame. Every case of shame where the behemah is eating, the bala behemah should say, I'm not going to pay bechlo. I shouldn't have to pay. Havala shalot tocha. The behemah shouldn't have eaten, so therefore I shouldn't have to pay. Heichan motzin usvar kazu. But the Gemara is going to be mechadish this kind of a svar over here halfway through the mesachta. There's a mazik of shame. We know that there's a mazik of shame. So, if there's a mazik of shame, so obviously, a bala behemah has to pay for the achila of his behemah. What's the havamina to say that havala shalotocha that the bala behemah can say? No, the behemah shouldn't have eaten. I'm not going to pay. So you've just done away with the whole mazik of shame. Stacha pella. This is the kasha that the shita is. Lema rav letaime de amar hayla shalotocha v'chitema imkein shen de kas rachmana hechi mishkachas lo. What are you going to do with shame? What situation is there going to be a mazik of shame? Basically doing away with the whole mazik of shame. So what does the shita answer? Ikalameima the shein da alma de mechayev hainu al iske shimur shlo shimur osa karoy. Aval hocha al iske shimur lo mechayev the nefilasa haisa ba'ones ve'achila nami lo mechayev v'hayla shlo tochal hara oza. The Ra'os says no. The mechayev of shame, the reason why yechayev of shame is because what? There's a chiyuv of shmira. You have to be shomer, your behemah, to make sure that it doesn't do a hezek. So if the person was not shomer his behemah properly, if he was posher in the shmira, so then of course it's going to be chayev for the achil of the behemah. But here, that mechayev of shein doesn't apply. Why? Because here the nefila was ba'onis, it wasn't bipshia. So the ikar mechayev of shein doesn't exist. So for the second mechayev, that maybe you should have to pay mashenenes, to that the Gemara says, no, I would think that maybe havala shlotochal, the bala behemah can say that the behemah shouldn't have eaten, I shouldn't have to pay even mashenenes. What's the shita mekabetza saying? What's the part? What's his yisod? What's he saying? Achora, he's saying that if the mechayev of nizkei mamon is the pshia bishmira, right? If the mechayev of nizkei mamon is the pshia sabaylam bishmira, so then, typically, right, if the behemah eats, as long as the bailam are posheh b'shmirasam, then the ikah mechayev is there. Then the ikah mechayev is there. So it doesn't make any sense to say that the bailam should pater themselves. They can say, no, the behemah should have eaten. It doesn't make any sense. The mechayev is that they were poshe b'shmirasam. So if there's a pshia, so then avada, they should have to pay. But here, since there wasn't any pshia, since the nefila was ba'one, so there's no pshia sabaylim. So the ikam mechayev of niskei mamon, the ikam mechayev of shein doesn't apply over here. So since the ikam mechayev is not here, I would have a havamina. Maybe there's no chayev to pay. Right, since the bailam were not posher b'shmirasim, so maybe the bailam can claim havelo shlo tocha the behemish of David, and I have no chiv to pay b'chlam. I shouldn't have any chiv to pay. That's what the Ra'ah seems to be saying, that the mechayev of nizke shein is the pshia b'shmira. So if the mechayev is pshia b'shmira, in this case, since there was no pshia b'shmira because the nefila was ba'ones, so therefore the bailam can say that they should be potter. Havelo shlo tocha the behemish of David, and they should be potter. It's the beginning of an answer, but it's still very difficult. What's the Shita saying? First of all, according to the Manda Amar, who says that the Mechayev of Nizkei Mamon is not the Pshia B'Shmira, but rather it's the Maisa Hezek of the Behemah. So here it was a Maisa Hezek of the Behemah. The Behemah did eat. So what's the Havamina according to that Shita? Right? The Shita is explaining, according to the Manda Amar, according to those days, they claim the Mechayev of Nizkei Mamon is the Pshia B'Shmira. So here the Ikka Mechayev is missing. So the Ikka Mechayev is missing. Maybe I'd have a havamina that the Bailam can say that they should be scot free. But if you hold that the Mechayev of Niskei Mamon is the Pshia, is the Maisa Hezek of the Behema. So is there a Maisa Hezek here? Sure, the Behema ate. The Behema damaged. There's some kind of a Maisa Hezek. Ochla is a Maisa Hezek of shame. So what's the havamina that the Baal of Behema can just say, Havala Shalotocha, the Behema Shintavit, and I should be potter? But the mazik is here, the mechayev is here, so how can they part themselves? Eitan?
Can we just say that Rav holds that
it's Rav holds that, but the Gemara is asking on Rav, so it sounds like the Gemara assumes that the Dover poshet this way. Is there any mocha to say that Rav holds that way? It sounds like it's a kash of the Gemara, so the Gemara is noked as a Dover poshet like one way, and then it's running with it. It doesn't sound like it's only a din in Rav. Yes?
Only the Ra'ah's explanation of that line of the Gemara follows yet to say that it's Pshia B'Shmira. It could be that Rashi, who says Maisa Hezek when we have problems, that Rav really means to say that we put it for eating, that can't be. Or maybe you can find the court of Rav and it rejects.
You're saying the Kasha could be that it can't be that Pshia B'Shmira is the Mechayev, since Maisa Hezek is the Mechayev, then it doesn't make any sense that Rav would say that Ochla is Potter and Gaz. That's how you...
We have two ways to read that line of the Gemara, Rashi and Rav. Is it an explanation of Rav or is it a question of
Rav? Mm-hmm.
Rashi, if we're asking this question now, how in the Ra'ah's reading, how can we say that if we said that the Chiyah is Maisa Hezek, it would be very difficult to understand the explanation. It wouldn't make sense to say you put there for eating, even though we know that there is an onus because they have damage. It's not going to say there are all this Pshia B'Shmira.
Yeah, but the kasha of the Ra'ah applies to Rashi as well. How can you interpret, right? How can you ask? No, according to Rashi, Rav just said b'nechbeta. So the Gemara asks on that. It sounds like ochla. You should be potter and gansin. How can that be? So the same kasha that the Ra'ah has on his interpretation of the Gemara, you'd have on Rashi's interpretation. What's the havamina to ask that kasha? So then the mazik of shame falls away. There's no way that you can be chayef for shame because the Baal Bahama can always say, havala shalo tocha. It's the same kasha. The answer of the Ra'ah has to apply for Rashi as well. Right? There's a detail of difference between the Ra'ah's interpretation of the line of the Gemara and Rashi. But it comes out the same because then the kasha is going to be, what happened to the mazik of shame? And the teretz has to be lechora, that if the whole mechayev is pshia b'shmira, so here, since there wasn't a pshia, then it's different. Yes, Eitan, you had something. That's kasha number one. So kasha number one is, according to the Manda Amar, who says that the mechayev of Niskei Mamon is the maisa hezek of the behema, so then you do have a mechayev over here. Even though the nefila legina was ba'ones, but there still is a mechayev because the animal did eat. Kivege asks another kasha. He says, even if you'll tell me that havala shalotochel is a reason why the owner shouldn't have to pay for masha hizika, but why shouldn't you have to pay for mashanetz? What, if ochla, you don't even have to pay for mashanetz? There's a havamina that if ochla, you don't have to pay bechlal? But Rav says that by nechbeta, there is a chiv to pay mashanetz. That's what the Mishnah is going on, right? Nafla lagina mishalemes mashanetz. What's the case? Zokt Rav b'nechbeta. So why should nechbeta be worse than achla? Achla, there's no chiyuv to pay bechalal. No chiyuv to pay bechalal. Even if you'll tell me the mechayev of niske mammon is the pshia b'shmira. Okay, and over here, since the nefila was bonus, there's no mechayev. But if by nechbeta you still have to pay mashenenis, albeit there's no chiyuv to pay mashenizika, but there's a chiyuv to pay mashenenis, by achla there certainly should be a chiyuv to pay mashenenis. Why should it be worse than nechbeta? Right? Lechora, it's a pella. Right? Even if you'll say that the mechayev of shein is normally pshia b'shmir, and here there wasn't a pshia, but why should that pater in gansin? Why should that pater completely? You should still have to pay mashenenis. Why is achla worse than nechbeta? It's really a pella. What's the havmin of the Gemara to say that havala shlo tochal should tell me that it, that if achla, there should be a ptur, a ptur lagamri? Yosef. There's a ptur onus, but since there is the maisa mechayev, since the mechayev is here, you see, if you hold that the mechayev is the pshia b'shmira, so if there's no pshia, there's nothing to talk about bechlal. So the havamina is that there's going to be a ptur. But if the mechayev is the maisa hezek, so since there is mokum for the mechayev, there might be a ptur onus mitzad the nezek, but mitzad hanoa there shouldn't be a ptur. Right? Since there is a mechayev over here. So even if the nefila was ba'onis, there still should be a chi of mashanenis, right? There still should be some kind of a latent chi of that's going to remain.
So that should be in all cases of shame, for example.
There should always be a chi of mashanenis. You're saying it's no better. It's no better if you... Even if you hold that the mechayev in this case mammon is the pshia b'shmira, there still should be a chiyav mashenenis over there also. That's what you're saying. Kiveg is kasha, basically, right? You're saying even if you'll tell me that havala shlo tochel is a reason to pater from mashenizika, but it shouldn't pater from mashenenis. It shouldn't be worse than the case of nechbeta. That's basically what you're saying. Okay, I hear.
Can we go back and everything we talked about in Ezek and kind of separate the chiyav Ezek and chiyav?
Right. I was thinking maybe the answer is like this. Again, it's a shver ahavamina, but you have to understand it a little bit. The Gemara of Gimel, going back quite a bit, right? The Gemara of Gimel talked about the mazik of shein, and it distinguished between two types of shein. There's a shein the lo mechal yakarna and a shein the mechal yakarna. Remember, right? There's a shein where the keren is completely destroyed. And a shame where the Karen is not destroyed. Machlokas Rashi and Tosis, what it means. Let's just take it simple. Let's talk Tosis, right? Tin for Paris la Hanaosa, right? If the animal is Tanef, the animal dirtied the Paris, but it's the Paris are not completely destroyed. It's not Mechal Yakarna. The Gemara is a Havamina, maybe Shane is only Chayiv if it's Mechal Yakarna, but if it's Lo Mechal Yakarna, then there's no Chayiv of Shane. What's the Havamina to say that? Right? What's the Havamina to say that? So the chora, the havamina is that you would think the mazik of shein is only if there's a maisa achila. It's only if the animal eats, right? Tinfa peres lahana osa. That's the animal was nene from the maisa hezek, but the animal didn't eat the peres. So if he didn't eat the peres, there's a havamina. Maybe that's not nichla. That's not included within the mazik of shein. Shein means maisa achila. Shein means maisa achila. That's what you would think. So maybe, again, it's a jump, but maybe what the Havamina here is that if you can claim the Havala Shlo Tochal, that the animal should not have eaten, maybe the Havamina is that Shein should only be Chayiv if the animal did a Maisa Achila, and then the Bala Behema can be Chayiv for the Hezek of that Maisa Achila. But maybe there's this Havamina that you can't be Mechayiv the Bailim for Mazik of Shein for Dafka Hanoh. Since Shein is all about Maisa Achila, v'harayad is a havamina that Shein d'la mechayev kain is potter and gansin. So maybe the only chiyah for Shein that you can have is for the Achila, which means for the hezek that was done to the Paris. But for the Hanoa, maybe there's a havamina that it shouldn't be chayev for the Hanoa in Shein. Maybe that's the havamina of the Gemara. Right? Havala shlo tochal pat is the Bala Behema from the hezek. Right? From the chiyah of mazik of Shein. but he should still have to pay mashenenes. No, maybe part of the havamina is that you would think maybe for Shane you never have to pay for mashenenes. The chiyuv of Shane is dafka for the achila, for the destruction of the peiros, but not for the hana that the animal gets. Kamash malan, obviously that's not true. That Shane is all about hanas, even if there is no ma'is achila, or even if you can't be mechayiv the bailim for the hezek. Even if you can't be mechayev the bana for the hezek, you could still be mechayev them for the hana that the animal derived from the tefillah. Okay, efshim. Maybe. I mean, again, it's a difficult havamina, but at least there's something to say for the havamina that maybe the bialim can say that they shouldn't have to pay the chlam. Yes.
Is hana and hezekah this like two different payments that you pay both?
Hana is much less. No, if you pay mashi hezekah, mashenenis is included within mashi hezekah. Mashenenis means that if the animal is protected, if it's nechpeta on the tvua and it's protected by the tvua, then we don't have to take into account that this tvua is expensive, and the hezek that was done is a more expensive hezek. Let's say the tvua that the animal fell on is expensive fruits that cost, I don't know, $100 a bushel, right? And the animal could have eaten tvua that's only $50 a bushel. So when we say mishalemes mashenenes, that means that the owner of the animal only has to pay $50, he doesn't have to pay $100. Right? Because the same protection that the fruit provided to the animal could have been provided with cheaper fruit, not the expensive fruit. If you say that the Baal HaBehema has to pay Masha Hizika, so then whatever the animal was mazik, that's what the Baal HaBehema has to pay. But if you say that the Baal HaBehema only has to pay Masha Neda, so then we don't take into account exactly what the Behema damaged. If it could have derived the same kind of benefit with a cheaper mechanism, so then the bailam only have to pay for that mechanism. Okay? Or if the animal ate the fruit. The animal doesn't have to eat expensive fruit. The owner only gives the animal, I don't know, grains or something. So the grains are much cheaper, so the owner will only have to pay mashenenis, the value of the grains. The owner doesn't have to pay the value of the fruit. Okay. Comes the Gemara and says that if nafla legina venenis, mishalem is mashenenis. That's the Mishnah, really. That's the Mishnah. Shalemis Mashenenis. And what's the case? The Rav says both Ochla and Nechbita. So Tosus here has a very important comment. It's really a comment on the Mishnah, but it appears here in the Gemara. Nafla Legina Vehizika. Tosus here adds a word to the Mishnah. Mishalemis Mashenenis. But that's how everyone interprets, right? That the Behemis Mazik, the Tfuah and the Gina. But the Chiddush is Mishalemis Mashenenis, that he only has to pay Mashenenis. We're talking about a situation where the animal cannot go down to the gina naturally. Right? It can't go down naturally. It fell, but it can't go down naturally. The imkain afilu nafla mishalemes mashi zika the tchilas v'pshia v'safa ba'onesu. If yichola leirid, if the animal could go down to the gina, but it turns out that it fell, it slipped, or the animals behind it pushed it, and that's why it fell ba'ones into the gina. It says Tosis, in such a situation, you'd have to pay Mashi Zika, you wouldn't pay Mashi Nenes. The case of Naflo Legina in the Mishnah, that Mishalem is Mashi Nenes, not Mashi Zika, says Tosis, that's if Eina Yechola Leirid. That's where the animal naturally cannot go down to the Gina. So if he can't go down naturally, then the whole thing was an onus, since the Nefila was Ba'onus, so that's why the owner only has to pay Mashi Nenes. But if Yechola Leirid, if the animal could have gone down by itself, so tchilas b'pshia, the owner put the animal in a situation where it could go down to the gina. So even if in the end it was sofa ba'ones that the animal fell and ba'ones it did the hezek, the owner pays mashizik, he doesn't pay mashenenes. The sefer diktani yarda urcha de milsenaka v'hu adinafla kevin shichola leiri. Says Taisvis, so why does the sefer say that yarda kedaka mishalemis mashizika didn't need yarda kedaka? Could have said the reish is nafla legina mashalemes mashenenes. That's where ein yichola leirid. If yichola leirid, if it can go down, then even if nafla, you should pay mashizika. Tchilas of b'pshiyav savonis. It says Tosas in Achanami. It could have said that. It uses yarda because urcha de milsanaka. That's the normal case. But it's really the same din that even if nafla, even if it were ba'ones, but if yichola leirid, then the bailam are going to have to pay mashizika. Okay, so this is a very important line in Tosas. That Tosas says that the chiddush, the din that nafla legina is mishalemes mashenenes, it's only if ein yichola leirid. Okay, but if yichola leirid, then even if nafla, even if it was sofa ba'ones, the Bailam have to pay Mashizik. Comes the Gaon in the Havel Sagra and quotes the Raivad who disagrees. The Raivad says that no, there is no Tchilos of a Pshia over here. V'chi yochazena biznava? Is the Bailam supposed to hold the animal by its tail? What's the Raivad saying? Which Raivad is the Gaon quoting? So this is quoted by the Rashba. Rashba quotes this Raivad, but the Girsa is a little more meduyek in Shita Mekubetzes. I gave you the Shita Mekubetzes. Aval harashba zal kosev b'shem Raivad edavka yorda aval yechola leri v'naf lepoter kediktoni lo karina letchilosa b'pshia. The Rashba quotes from the Raivad that dafka yorda, it's not urcha l'milsenoka, dafka yorda. If yechola leirid, b'nafla pata. If nafla pata, dafka yorda is mishalemes mashizika, but if nafla, even if it can go down, nafla is pata to be mishalemes mashizika. Zok the Raivad v'chi ena rashay lahavet sonar b'shus harabim ela im ken yochez b'znova, elevada kol nafla pata. What, the person can't be molech his behemoth in Rishis Rabbim without holding onto their tail? Must be that all nafla is going to be part of this. Aval harayvi kosa b'chidusha b'feirish shatosvis hod aminu b'masis nafla gina v'neres p'tura davka she'en yichola leirit sham kedaka klam aval b'haisi yichola leirit aval b'sha nafla chayim aval leit chilasim b'shir v'sav ba'onis. So the Shita Mekubetzes says the Raivad in his chidushim, he quotes the parish of Tosvis. The Rashba quotes from the Raivad against Tosfos, but the Raivad is Chidushim quotes the parish of Tosfos. The Iri, the next part of the Shita Mekubetzes, says that the Raivad was Chozeba. The Raivad initially quotes Tosfos, then he was Chozeba. It's a whole question. Did the Raivad initially say this, or did he initially prefer Tosfos and then he was Chozeba? But there definitely is a Shita of the Raivad on the books. Right? The Rashba certainly thought that the Raivad argued against Tosfos. The Raivad holds that the only time that the Bailam are going to pay Mashi Zika is if Yorda Mamish. But if Nafla, even if Yechola Leirid, even if the Behemah could go down, the Bailam are going to only have to pay Mashi Enenis and not Mashi Zika. Why? Why don't you say Tchilas HaBashir V'Sav HaOnis? It's not the Raivad, it's not Tchilas HaBashir. It's Tchilas HaOnis. V'chi Yochazena B'Znava V'Yelech? What, the Bailam are Mechuyev to hold the animal by its tail if it's walking in the Rishus HaRabah? Doesn't make any sense. So therefore, as long as nafla, you would say that that's tchilas of ba'onis, it's not tchilas of b'pshi. What's this svar of the Raivad? Where did he get this from? Is this his own svar, or is there some kind of an earlier makom? So the Birag Ran Shulchan Aruch, where this is quoted by the Rama. Rama has this halacha. He quotes the two days, the Tosas and the Raivad. In source two, im hevira eitz laginas chaver v'hoy efshalo leirid v'likanis lagina afilu nafla ba'onis chayv David tchilas of b'pshi v'sav ba'onis. First, the Rama quotes Tosfos. If Yechola lay raid, so then even if Nafla, then the Bailam are going to be chayiv to pay Mashi Zika. That's Tchilas of Mashiach Vesav Ba'onis. Yesh Mishacholik Bazeh, but the Raivid argues and says, no, the Dafka, if Yorda Kedarka, the Bailam have to pay Mashi Zika. But if Nafla, even if Yechola lay raid, the Bailam are going to be potter. We don't say Tchilas of Mashiach Vesav Ba'onis. So says the Gaon, why not? The Lab Pshiusahi, it's not a Pshia. Like the Gemara says on Daf Yutesamid Beis. Daf Yutesamid Beis. We're learning Daf Nun Zayinamid Beis. Well, what's the Gaon saying? So the Gaon points out that the Raivad did not introduce this Svar. We find this Svar in a different context. What's the context of this Svar? So that's the Gemara on Daf Yutesamid Beis. Yosef Rabbi Huda Nasi of Reb Oshia Akilad Rabbi Huda. Nafik Milsa Mibinayo Kishkish of Iznava Mahu. What's the din if the animal wagged its tail in the Rishus HaRabbah? Wagged its tail and it did hezek with the tail. So Amalei Idach V'chi Yochazena B'Znava V'Yelech. The other one, it's not clear who said what. Right, one of the Amoroim said, what, the Bailam have to hold on to the tail of the animal? Yehachi, so the other one is Karen Ami. Name of Vechiochazena be Karen Vielech. So Karen too. We know Karen Bishusarab Mischaev. Karen Tam Mischaev Chatzinezek. What, should the Bailam have to hold on to the Karen of the animal? Maybe we should pata the Bailam from Karen too? If you tell me Kishkishab is Nov is not a Pshia because the Bailam don't have to hold on to the Zonov of the animal, so Karen also shouldn't be a Pshia. Why should the Bailam be Chayev for Karen Bishusarab? So Hachi Ashta, no, Karen Lav Urche, Ha Urche. Karen is Lav Urche, so Karen is Chayav B'Shusarabim. Karen is Chayav B'Shusarabim. But Kishkisha B'Znava, since that's Urche, right? It's a told that the regal says Rashi, so that's Pata B'Shusarabim. Shem Regal is Pata B'Shusarabim, so that's why it should be Pata. That's why it should be Pata. If it's Urche, so what's the Shaila? If Kishkisha Biznava is Urche, we know Shem Veregel B'Shus Rabim is Pata, so what's the Shaila? What Shaila did they have? Kishkush Yisera Mibayale. The Shaila was Kishkush Yisera. Let's say it wags its tail too much, right? In a way that's not Urche. So if it's Lav Urche, then that's more Karen as opposed to Shem Veregel. Karen could be Chai B'Shus Rabim, so that's the Shaila. If it's Kishkush Yisera, is that Lav Urche or is that Urche? If it's Urche, then it's Pata B'Shus Rabim because it's like Shem Veregel B'Shus Rabim. But if it's Lav Urche, then it's Karen and then it'll be Chai. So Zokta Gaon, this is the place where the Raiva got his svara. V'chi yochazena biznava v'yelech. So the Bailam have to hold on to the tail of the animal? There's a very interesting application of this principle. Because the Gemara in Daf Yotes is not talking about a situation where the Bailam are holding on to the tail of the animal so that the animal is not going to do hezek with its mouth. Right? It's talking about doing hezek with the tail. The Gemara in Daf Yotes says there's no chiv of the Bailam to hold on to the tail of the animal to prevent the tail from doing hezek. Here, the Ravid is saying, what? Do the Bailam have to be so careful with their animal that the animal is not gonna eat tvua from the gina, is not gonna go into the gina and eat from the tvua? So I would say yes. Why shouldn't the Bailam have to be careful? Right? The fact that the Bailam don't have to hold on to their animal to prevent the animal from doing hezek with the tail, that's one thing. That's one thing. But why does that automatically apply to our situation? Our situation is not that the tail is the item that's doing hezek. It's that the bailam are holding on to the tail to prevent the animal from going and doing hezek with its mouth. What's the Gaon saying? The Gaon is saying that the tzara shove of both cases is that it's not a pshia. It's not a pshia if the bailam are molech their behemah and rishis harabim without holding on to the tail. Period. That's all the Gemara is saying. Whatever hezek the animal does, if it's not a pshia that the bailam are not holding on to the tail, so then the bailam are not going to be chayav for the hezek that the animal does. So bain if the hezek that the animal does is with its tail, bain if it does hezek with its mouth. The fact is it the responsibility of the owner to hold on to the tail of the animal to make sure that the animal doesn't do hezek? That's the yesod. The yesod is that somehow it's not a pshia of the bailam. It's not a pshia of the bailam. The bailam don't have to hold on to the animal. So whether the animal does hezek with its tail, whether it does any other kind of hezek by falling into the gina, it's not the responsibility of the bailam to hold on to the animal. They can be moldech the behem and the rishus rabim without holding on to it. That's the tzara shavah. It's not that the Ravid literally is parroting what the Gemara on Daf Yotes on the base says. He's not parroting. It's not the same din. It's not the same case. It's not the same case, but the yesod is the same. The yesod is that it's not a pshias habailam if they don't hold on to the tail of the animal. So it's not a pshias habailam, so therefore the bailam are not going to be responsible. Eitan.
Is it the same sort of because the case of the tail is regel, in the case of the eating would be shame?
No, but that's exactly the point. It doesn't matter what hezek the animal does. The point is it's not a pshias habailam if they're not holding on to the animal. As long as they're the next to the animal, they're in control enough of the animal that they can stop the animal, that's enough.
Like Havamina, that they would be chayav because they're both kashen and regel, both more mitzvah. So it's not a pshias.
Yeah, maybe. 100%. So that's the Ravid. The Ravid argues with Tosfos. Tosfos says that if Yechola Leirid, so then even if Nofla, the Bailam are going to be high because Chilasa B'Pshia is over bonus. And the Ravid says, no, there is no Chilasa B'Pshia. There's no Chilasa B'Pshia because it's not the responsibility of the Bailam to hold on to the tail of the animal. What's the situation? What's the Svara of the Ravid? What's the situation that the Ravid says it's not a B'Pshia? Why does the Ravid say it's not a B'Pshia? Right, the rabbit says it's not the responsibility of the owner to hold on to the animal, to be oches biznava. Why isn't it the responsibility of the owner? If he doesn't hold on to the animal, so how's he going to prevent it from going down to the gina and doing hezek? What's the rabbit saying? Okay, the Gemara on the Gemara in Daf Yotes is saying that that it's lav urche for the animal to have a kishkosh yisera, to wag with its tail so strongly that it's going to do hezek with the tail. Shkoich. That's one thing. The Ravid Lachar is saying something totally different. He's saying that the Bailam don't have to hold on to the animal. But if the animal goes and does hezek in a normal way, with regel, with shein, normal, urche, right? So why did the Bailam not have to hold on to the animal to prevent it from doing hezek? According to the Ravid, what's the chiluk between Nafla as opposed to Yarda? Right, what's the chiluk? Nafla, there's no chiv to pay Mashi Yizika. Yarda, there is a chiv to pay Mashi Yizika. Why? Why? The Bailam don't have a responsibility to hold on to the animal, to hold on to the tail of the animal. So even if Yarda, according to the Ravid, the Bailam should be put. Now, what's this svar of the Ravid? But there's no chiyuv on the part of the Bailam to hold on to the animal, so therefore the Bailam are never going to be chayiv. Why should they not be chayiv? First of all, why should they not be responsible to hold on to the animal to prevent it from doing hezek? And if they are not responsible for some reason, if that's not viewed as a b'shia, so what's the chiyuv between yarda as opposed to nafla? So comes the Meiri, and he gives a beer in the Ravid. He adds on to the Ravid a very important nekuda. This is at the end of that piece in Shita Mekubetzis, where he quotes the Meiri. Generally, dafka kshena bailam ima. Ha'im hayu bailam ima lo hayu lo lahalo salev sheter l'sham el sheter l'chalpi han hagasa. Meiri says, nearly dafka kshein ha'bailam ima. The only time that the Ravid would say that the bailam are going to be chayiv for the hezek of the behema is if the bailam are not there. If the bailam are not there, then they're going to be chayiv. But if the bailam are there, then there's no responsibility. The bailam don't have to think. They don't have to be ola al hadas that the animal is not going to listen to them. Even if they're not holding on to the behemoth. That's the yisod of the Ravid. The yisod is that the Bailam don't have to hold on to the animal when it walks in the Rishus Aradim. Because the owner can expect that if the animal starts to walk toward the Ginas Chavero and they shout out to the animal, stop! That the animal is going to listen to the Bailam. The animal always listens to the Bailam. So even if the Bailam are not holding on to the animal, the Bailam have a right to believe that the animal is going to obey their command. And that's why it's not going to be called a pshia. But that's exactly the chile between nafla as opposed to yarda. Yarda, the situation is that the bailam are not there. That must be the chilek according to the Ravid. The chilek between nafla as opposed to yarda is not just nafila as opposed to yirida, but rather nafla is a situation where the bailam are there. They're in the Rishus Rabbim. They're walking next to the behemah. They're not holding on to the behemah. They're walking next to the behemah. And then the animal is kicked by the other behemoths, right? Or the animal slips and it falls in. Right? So in that situation, that's not called a pshia. But the owner is not holding on. The owner doesn't have to think that the animal is not going to listen to it. It's not tchila subapshia according to the Ravid. Right? Even if it can go down to the Gina, but the owner has every right to believe that the animal will not go down to the Gina, because even if it starts to go, the owner will stop it. It'll call out to the animal, and the animal will stop. So it's not called a tchila subapshia, says the Ravid, as long as the owner is there. So if taket's nafla in the end, then the owner will be parted to pay mashi zika. He'll only have to pay mashi anenis, because it wasn't a pshia, it's not chilas of a pshia, because the owner has every right to believe that the animal is going to listen to them, obey the command of the owner, and it's not going to go in. But if the owner is not there, if the owner is not in the Rishus Rabbim, then taka yarda kedarka, the owner is going to be chayv. That's the chilik between yarda as opposed to nafla, according to the Rabbi. The question is whether the owner is there in the Rishus Rabbim. If the owner is there, then he has every right to believe, even if he's not holding onto the animal, that the animal will obey his command, but if he's not there, then he takes responsibility. Then he'll be chayiv to pay mashi hizika, whether it's yarda or nafla. Because if the owner is not there, then it's taka tchilas of a pshia. So if it's tchilas of a pshia, even if nafla, then taka he's going to be chayiv. That's the Meiri's understanding of the Rav. And this is how the Torah's Chaim, one of the Gedolei Achronim, also interpreted the Rav. This is at the end of the Torah's Chaim in page 2 over here. L'chein Nira says the Torah's Chaim, D'nafla l'gina ari nami b'yecholo l'ayrei, v'afilu ochi enem shalem esel amash enenis, d'lohavi t'filasu v'pshia, d'kevan d'bay l'ima v'hu eino molicha samach l'gina, k'divrashti l'el, l'ek v'pshia klal, d'yesh b'yado l'mona shlo tered l'gina, The Yesod says the Taras Chaim is that if the owner is right there on the side, so then he can prevent the animal from going down to the Gina. The Dafka Menefila lo hayayachal l'shamra kevin the Ba'onis Nafla. He can't prevent it from the Nefila, but he can prevent it from going down to the Gina. So it's not a Tchilas of B'Pshia. It's not Tchilas of B'Pshia. So then he's going to be potter to pay Mashi Yizika. Right, because if it goes down, miyad who goer bo, he's going to scream at it, and it's going to stop doing what it's doing. This is exactly how the Taras Chaim understood the Rav. The Taras Chaim, before he quotes the Rav, before he says that he thinks the Rav is the better pshat, he quotes Tosfos, and he's very troubled with Tosfos. What's pshat in Tosfos? He says. Tosfos kotzul el da did not nafu legina v'yizik v'shlemes mashenan as ayre kasheni yechola later. Tosis said that if Yechola Leire, then even if Nofla, he's going to be Chayiv, because Tchilasu B'Pshiv Esav Ba'ones. The Kosher says the Taras Chaim. It's Kosher. Three Kashas he is. Dimkei, Maiko Amar Hocha, the Kolemus, the Mishtamta. Okay, let's get to the Kasha list. He says, Ve'ein Sfar Aloma. Jump to the second line. Ve'ein svar lomar. I'm sorry, just one second. Let's jump to the second paragraph for a moment. Ve'od koshev, the dochaku l'chalik v'lomar, the nofla ari begina she'en yicholo le'ribo, v'yorda ari begina she'yicholo le'ribo, the mashra, the nofla v'yorda, v'chad gina ari, kevin l'chad milsum. The Taras Chaim's first kasha against Taisus is that yorda and nofla sound like they're talking about the same gina. It's just the situation is different. The animal did something different. But according to Tosfos, Yorda and Nafla are two totally different situations. Nafla is a case where what? It's a Gina She'en Yechola Le'eribo. And Yorda is a case where Yechola Le'eribo. So it's Mamash a totally different case. That's not Masha from the Mishnah. The Mishnah, it sounds like it's talking about one Gina, but in one situation it fell, in the other situation it went down willingly. According to Tosfos, it's a totally different case. It's really a pellet. According to Tosis, why does the Mishnah distinguish between Nafla as opposed to Yarda? It should really distinguish between Yechola Leirid as opposed to Eina Yechola Leirid, because that's really the Ikar Chilik. It's not a Chilik between Nafla as opposed to Yarda. Even if it's Nafla in both situations, if Yechola Leireid, so then it's Tchilasu B'Pshia B'Sava Ba'ones, and if it's any Yechola Leireid, then it's not Tchilasu B'Pshia, and then he'd be Pata. Adds the Taras Chaim a third kasha from the Hemshech of the Gemara. The Gemara, I'm going to get to this in the Tzishan. Where I quote some Achlokas Amaroyim. When do we say that Nafla Lugina Meshalem Es Mashenenes? Amar of Kana. Lo Shano Ela Ba'os Aruga Avol Me Aruga La Aruga Meshalem Es Mashizika. Rav Kana says that Ba'os Aruga Meshalem Es Mashenenes. But if it's Me Aruga La Aruga, if the animal goes to a different Aruga, so then you have to pay mashizika. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Afilu Me'aruga La'aruga Afilu Kol Hayom Kula. Rabbi Yochanan says Gora Chiddush that even Me'aruga La'aruga, even if the animal goes from one patch to another, the Bailim still are going to be potter from paying mashizika. They only have to pay mashenes. Achetetze v'tachzer l'das. Zokt Rabbi Yochanan, when are the Bailim going to have to pay mashizika? That's if tetze v'tachzer l'das. What does that mean? So Rashi explains, until the Bailim know that the animal left the aruga, teitze ledas, the tachzer ledas. Tachzer ledas means that with the bailim's knowledge, the animal goes back. That means that the bailim were not noel b'fanah karoi. If the bailim didn't even do a shmir pachusa, and the animal goes back into the aruga, so then the bailim are going to be chayiv. So Rabbi Yochanan Shita, that the only time that the bailim are going to be chayiv is if teitze ledas with tachzer ledas. That the animal goes out, the bailim know the animal goes out, and tachzer ledas shelo noel b'fanah karoi. Amar Rav Papa lo teimach teitze ledas v'tachzer ledas. Halakeven sheyotze ledas afal bishachaz v'shelo ledas. The owner is going to be chayav mashe zika. Zokter of Papa, no. if Yatzah Saladas, if the behemoth goes out Ladas, even if Chazur Shalol Ladas, even if the owner Taka did a Shmir Pachusa, the owner was Noah Bifan El Karoy, he's Chayiv Masha Izika if the animal goes back into the Aruba. Machlokas Amaroyim, what happens if the animal goes out Ladas, that the Bailam know the animal left the Aruga, and the Bailam do a Shmir Pachusa, they know Bifan El Karoy, they lock the animal appropriately, they do a Shmir Pachusa, are the Bailam going to be Chayiv? Dr. Papa, I think that even if the Bailam do a Shmira Pechusa, that's not enough. Once the behemoth goes into the Aruga, it's not enough to do a Shmira Pechusa. My Taima, the Amalei, came in the Alpha, Kolemas de Mishtamta, Lahosam Rohata. That the Bailam can say, came in the Alpha, once the behemoth learned its way, so to speak, once it gets to the Aruga, so Kolemas de Mishtamta, whenever it walks around, whenever it finds itself, lahasam rata, it's going to be rohet, it's going to run to the gina. The bala gina can say, now that the animal already is used to this gina, once it went into the gina, since it's used to going into the gina, then it's going to come back. So therefore, a shmir pechusa is not enough, you have to do a shmir ma'ula. It's Rav Papa's shita. That once the animal goes to the gina, then you have to do a shmir ma'ula. It's no longer enough to be noah b'fanei karoy just to do a shmir pachusa. So, fact of Taras Chaim, according to Tosis, how do you understand this gemara? But Tosis said what? Tosis said that if ainu yechola leireid, again, that if nafla lagina mishalemes mashenenes, that's talking about that ainu yechola leireid. That it doesn't have the ability to go down kedaka, because if it's yichola leire kedaka, so then it's tchilasu b'pshia v'safa ba'onis. It's tchilasu b'pshia v'safa ba'onis. So, fact that Taras Chaim, my kamer hocha kolemus de mishtamta lahasam rata lamalola mirhat lahasam kevin the ene yichola leire lesocha de meikara lo yarda lenafla. What's the situation according to Tosfos? According to Tosfos, it's ani yachol aleret. The animal can't go down, and it falls by accident into the gina. It falls by accident into the gina. So how can you say what? It wasn't able to go down. It fell by accident into the gina. So now there's a taina that you have to do a shmir ma'ula on the animal because since it's used to going into the gina, it's going to go back to the gina. How can it go back to the gina? It can't get there naturally. Right? It fell into the gina. It can't go down naturally into the gina, according to Tosfos. Bishlam, according to the Ravid, you're talking about a situation where the animal really could go to the gina. The Bailam are walking alongside the animal in the Rishus HaRabim, so the animal really could get to the gina. It's just the Bailam are going to scream at the animal to stop them from going to the gina. So one could say that if nafla, if the animal fell into the gina, so then the Bailam really have to hold on to the animal. They have to do a shmir me'ula the next time. Because if the Bailam don't hold on to the animal, then the animal is gonna go into the gina. It's not going to listen to the Bailam because it's so used to the gina. It's so excited to be able to eat the tvua in the gina. So it's going to run to the gina the next time and it's going to eat in the gina. But according to Tosis, the case of Nafla is where the animal cannot go down into the gina. So if the animal cannot go down into the gina, why should I be choshesh that if it goes to the gina once, it's going to go back? It's not going to go back because it can't go back, because it can't get there. So What's the Gemara saying? Rav Papa's svar is a very strange svar. Ve'ein svar loma derata lahasim kedesh etapel atzma lasocha bekavana. What are you going to say? Oh no, it's going to run there because it's going to want to throw itself over the wall, even though it's not normal for it to go down. It's going to abnormally throw itself into the gina. It's a mud nazach, right? If the animal is walking in the Rishus HaRabim, and it can get down to the gina, it's just controlled by the owner because it listens to the command of the owner. So then that can make sense that if it already goes to the gina, so then we're afraid that it's not going to listen to the owner the second time. But if nafla lagina is a case where the animal cannot get down naturally, so why are we so afraid that it's going to go back to the gina a second time? Since it's used to going to the gina, it's going to want to go back to the gina. But it can't get to the gina. What, to say that it's going to throw itself into the gina in an abnormal fashion? Why should it do that? So up to Taras Chaim, for these three kashas, I think Tosis is wrong. I think the Ravid is more correct. Right? I think the Ravid is more correct that even if Yechola Leirid L'Sham, if Nafla, the Baal Mapot, because it's not Chilas U'Pshiyah V'Self HaBa'Ones. It's not Chilas U'Pshiyah V'Self HaBa'Ones, because the owner is walking next to the animal, and the owner can stop the animal from jumping into the Gehenna. That's the Taras Chaim. What's the answer to this last Kasha of the Taras Chaim, Kasha from Dafim Ches? Rav Shif wants to suggest, maybe the answer to the Taras Chaim is not really so shver. He suggested an answer, but he didn't like it. He said, according to Tosis, to claim that Nafla Legina, that once it falls into the Gina, then the only way to protect, right, the only shmir that the Bailim can do is a shmir ma'ula. Because once the animal goes into the Gina, then it's going to run back. But if it can't naturally get to the Gina, how's it going to go back? Zokta Maram Shif, it's not such a davar pella to say that once the animal knows that there is a Gina with Tavua there, maybe a taka will push itself into the Gina. It will try to break the fence to get into the Gina. Right? It'll do something above and beyond what it normally would do because it knows that there's something there on the other side of the fence. And we find a precedent for this, he points out. That earlier, the Mishnah said, Hinicha b'chama. Hinicha b'chama o'shemas l'cher shot v'katan v'yotza v'hizik achayef. The Mishnah said that if he nicha b'chama, even if noah b'fanah karoi, v'yatza v'hizika, the baila machayif. If you put the animal in the heat of the sun, and then the animal goes out and does hezek, then the taka is a chiyuv. And the Gemara in Dafnin Vav Amud Aleph quoted Rabbah that afilu chatra, that even if the animal dug out, some kind of an ones occurred, you're still chayif. Why should you be chayif? But if the animal dug out and the hezek occurred by ones, then you should be potter. It says the Gemara, says the Gemara, it's kula pshia. It's kula pshia. Even if chotra, right? Even if chotra, don't assume that chilasu b'shia v'saf ba'ones. So according to the mandama, chilasu b'shia v'saf ba'ones, pati should be pati over here. No, it's kula b'pshia. Why? Because if hinicha b'chama, then even tchilasu is b'pshia he as well. My time at Amalei made the yadis to keep in the shavkas of b'chama called tatztika the isla lemebed avda v'nafka. You should have known that if hinicha b'chama, the animal was going to go berserk. The animal was going to try to break out. It was going to break the wall. That's not a normal thing for the animal to do, but you put it in an abnormal situation. So you put it in the abnormal situation, then you have to protect with a shmir ma'ula. You got to do a greater shmir because there's more of a chashash that the animal is going to do whatever it can to break out. Zokta Maram Shif, it's the same thing over here. Taisa says, yes, it's true that the animal is put in a situation where it should not be able to get down to the Gina. But once it's Nafla, once it falls to the Gina and it knows that there's Tfuah there, Kol Tatztaki the Isla Le Mebad, anything that it can do, it's going to do to get to that Gina again. So now there's a responsibility on the part of the Bailim to do a Shmir Ma'ula, to do a greater Shmir. Because once the animal is in a situation where it knows that it can benefit by breaking a wall, breaking a fence, it's going to push itself. It's going to do whatever it can to break a fence, to damage anything it can, to get to that Gina, because it wants to be able to eat the Tfuah. And that's l'chore how Tosis is going to answer. It's going to answer the Kasha of the Taras Chaim. But leaving out the Kasha of the Taras Chaim, let's go back to the base of Machlokas. Yes, Shalom.
The animal fell into the Gina, but it had to get out somehow.
Taken out. The Bailim took it out.
So, but
once it knows that the Gina is there, the next time that the Bailim take it along the road to the Gina, it's going to run away. Right? It's going to run away and it's going to run into the Gina. If there could be a fence by the Gina, but it's going to try to break the fence to get into the Gina.
Why can't you say it's going to go the same way in that it came out?
Maybe it's hard to believe that the animal is going to make itself fall into the Gina because it can get hurt that way. But if it breaks the fence, it's not going to get hurt. It will just break something. Maybe it's naturally not going to break the fence, but if it knows that there's two on the other side of the fence, then it'll break the fence to get to the Gina. What comes out is that there's a machlokas Tosis and the Ravid whether the Bailam are responsible to hold on to the animal when it walks in the Rishis Aravim. That's what it sounds like. The Ravid says that the Bailam are not responsible. The Bailam are not responsible. So it's not Tfilas of Upshia. And that's the Ravid's Yisod. That even if you chola leired lagina, the Bailam are not responsible if nafla, because it's not chilas of b'pshia. There's no chiyuv on the Bailam to hold on to the behemoth when it walks in the Rishis Aravim. Right? The discussion of the Torah Chaim is in terms of the second time. Right? Is there a chiyuv to do a shmir ma'ula for the second time to prevent the second damage? But let's go back to the first time. Right? The Ikar Machlokas Tosis in the Ravid is whether if the animal can get down to the gina, but it falls ba'ones, should the Bailam be responsible for the hezek? Do you say tchilasu b'shivas of ba'ones? So l'chora, the Ravid is right. Should the Bailam really be responsible to hold on to the animal? Do they really have to do that? The animal should listen to them, even if they're not holding on to the animal. It shouldn't be tchilasu b'shivas. What should it be? What is Tosis going to respond to the Ravid? So the simple answer that you could give is that Tosis might hold that the Bailam can't be sure that the animal is going to listen. The Bailam can't be sure that the animal is going to listen. So since they can't be sure that the animal is going to listen, Itaka is Tchilas of Upshia. If you hold the lay rate, if the animal can get down, so then the Bailam have to be concerned that the animal might not listen to them, so the Bailam actually have to hold on to the animal. That's what you could say. But Bemis, you could really explain Tosis much more simply. The way the Ravid interprets the Gemara, we're talking about a situation where the behemoth walking in the Rishis Aravim, and it falls into the Gina. So the Shaila is, if the Bailam are walking alongside the behemoth, should they have to hold on to the behemoth to prevent the behemoth from going in? Should the Bailam be able to rely on the fact that the behemoth is going to listen to them? But if you recall, Rashi had two scenarios over here, two ways of interpreting Nafla Lagina. One is that the animal is walking in the Rishis Aravim. But there was a first pshat in Rashi. What's that? Nafla lagina ba'onus migag baila hasamach laginas chaver. According to the first pshat in Rashi, we're not talking about walking in the Rishis Aravim b'chla. It's that the behema is in its own property, in the property of the Bailam, and there happens to be a gina on the other side. Right? There's a gag here. It doesn't have to be a roof. It means a higher property and a lower property. And the animal fell into the lower property. You see, according to the Ravid, the chilik between yard as opposed to nafla is whether the Bailam are there or not there. Right? That's the whole chilik. If the Bailam are there, then they have a right to believe that the animal is gonna listen to them. So even if they're not holding on to the animal, it's not chilas v'pshia. But if the Bailam aren't there and yard the kedarka, so then the Bailam are going to be held responsible. Because if they're not there, obviously the animal has no one to listen to. According to the Ravid, it's all a function of whether the Bailam are there or not there. According to Tosis, the chiluk doesn't have to be whether the Bailam are there or not there. It could be that the Bailam aren't there bechalal. They don't have to be there. The animal is inside the private property of the owner. So the owner is not there. The animal is in a makom shemeres. There's a shmira pechusa, a nal befana karoi. The animal is in this property. It's abnormal for the animal to fall into the ginas chaver, to fall into the next property. So that's why the Bailam don't have to worry bechalal. Tosis holds the Bailam don't have to worry because if the animal cannot get down to the gina, then the animal is completely shamur. It's not a function of the animal listening to the Bailam. Then if the animal starts to walk toward the gina, then the Bailam are going to tell it, don't go. The Bailam are going to say, stop. Right? No, you don't need that according to Tosis. Tosis is assuming, like the first pshat in Rashi, perhaps, that the case is that the animal is in Rishus Baalah, and the Gina is in the lower property. But even though the Bailam aren't there, the Bailam don't have to be Choshesh that the animal is going to go down to the Gina. That's if Eimi Yechola Leireit Sham. If the animal can't get down to the Gina, so then the animal is completely Mishumar, and that's why the Bailam don't have to pay Mashi Ziga, they only have to pay Mashi Nenes, because it's not Chilas Lubshia. Yorda Kedarka is a case where Yechola Leireid L'sham. If the animal Taka can get down there, same case where it's in the property of its owner, but the property is situated in such a way that the animal can get down to the Gina, so then it's a Pshi of the Bailam. If the Bailam leave the animal there, the Chilik according to the Ravid could be whether the Bailam are in the Rishis Aravim walking with the animal or not in the Rishis Aravim walking with the animal. The Chilik according to Tosfis could be, again, we're not even talking about that the animal is in the Rishus Ram Bechlal, but that the animal is in the Rishus of the Bailim. The whole question is, can it get down naturally to the Gina, or can it not get down naturally to the Gina? According to this, what really emerges is that it could very well be that Tosis and the Rabbit are not even disagreeing. They could be talking about totally different cases. That's what the Chazon Ish wants to suggest. The Chazon Ish says, maybe there's no machlokas Tosis and the Rabbit Bechlal. Maybe they're just referring to different cases. Tosis is talking about the first situation of Rashi. Tosis agrees with the Raiva that if the owner is walking in the Rishus Rabim with the animal, the owner doesn't have to hold on to the animal. It's not Tchila Subabshia. Even if the animal can get down to the Gina, it's not Tchila Subabshia on the part of the Bailam, because the Bailam can stop the animal if it starts to go to the Gina. So maybe Tosis Taka agrees with the Raiva in that case. Tosis is referring to the other case. Tosis is talking about if the property of the Bailam is Samach Laginas Chavero. So the behemah is completely mishumar. So if the behemah can get down to the gina, it's not mishumar. That's chilas u'mshia. But if the behemah cannot get down to the gina, so then it is mishumar. And then the bailam are not going to be held responsible. If the animal falls down, that's an onus, and they'll only have to pay mashenas. They won't have to pay mashizika. So according to the Chazon Ish, it's a very easy beer and tosfos. What's difficult within the Chazon Ish is that that's not the way the Rishonim are learning. The Rashba didn't learn like that. The Ramah that we quoted obviously didn't learn that they were two different, that it was all the same sheet, that they're just talking about two different cases. The Ramah learned that there's a machlokas tosis in the Raivit. So if you learn that there's a machlokas tosis in the Raivit, the only way to learn that machlokas is that Raivit and tosis are arguing as to whether the Bailam have a responsibility to hold on to the animal, or can they rely on the fact that the animal is going to listen to their command if they scream at the animal. That's what you have to say. Because if not, there's no other way to try to explain tosis. Tosis is more machmer. They say, no, you have to hold on to the animal. Because if you don't hold on to the animal, then there's a concern that the animal is not going to listen. Once it sees the gina, then it's going to run down, and it's not going to listen. But if you learn like the Chazon Ish, then you're not beholden to say that there's a machlokas bechlal. It could be that the Raivit and Tosis are really talking about two different things.